Good morning, y'all.
Singing the same old cowboy song.
It's Rosie on the house.
That's been sung 100 times before.
In Arizona, Saturday morning tradition.
Ain't got nothing but my name.
Good morning.
And I'm the only man I know to blame, but I'm living.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm free.
Woohoo, baby.
Just listen to the wind blow. Let blow.
You ought to just set your wake-up alarm to this station.
That's good music to wake up to, huh?
At 7:05 every Saturday morning. We'll just get you started on a little Arizona sky wandering, horseback riding cowboy wake up song.
And that old moon, he can still be found hiding in the desert sky.
All right, let's bring her on into the program, y'all. Good morning. You never know what we've got for you in the 7 o'clock hour. It's always something. It's really just about whatever has hit me at 6:55 that I want to talk about. That's what we talk about in the 7 o'clock hour. 8 o'clock hour is our outdoor living hour, where we talk about anything and everything having to do with your landscape, your gardening, and your trees. In particular, will be John Eisenhower from Integrity Tree Service joining us this morning. 9 o'clock hour, we'll be talking about preparing that spare bedroom for your holiday guest. What little touches might we be able to recommend to you to get that room in the best, most comfortable shape possible for your incoming guests? We've got a couple of very funny stories in that particular hour. And then at 10 o'clock hour, it will be Bellegard Pavers Hour of Home Improvement Innovation with special guest Kim Peterson, the Vice President of Sales and Marketing of Shea Homes, coming in and talking about how do you, as Vice President of Sales and Marketing, one of the largest home builders in the Western United States, determine what product you're going to put on the market 2 or 3 years from now, depending on where you're going to build it. How do you determine what the designs and the products and the features that those buyers are going to want 2 or 3 years down the road? It's a fascinating conversation. I just met Ken this week and really had a fascinating breakfast at Chompy's, and he's going to be a great piece of information for all of us wanting to know how to keep our homes right up to date with the latest trends.
So And one thing for sure. It's all good news. It's a place to rest and be encouraged.
No bad news on Rosie on the House?
No, 4 hours worry-free.
4 hours of
education,
bad news,
entertainment.
A no bad news zone.
No bad news zone.
Okay. Very good. That's what Rosie on the House is all about, to melt away your anxieties, put a smile on your face, put a skip in your step. And I'll tell you what, I just got back from a week in Dallas. That's the most boring town I've ever been in my entire life.
Sorry, I didn't join you.
It has no redeeming qualities at all.
None, huh?
No. I mean, you visit the website, Visit Dallas.
It's all restaurants,
it's a blank page.
That's it.
You know, interesting things to see in Dallas. It's got an aquarium. It's got a zoo. Well, every city's got an aquarium and a zoo, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's got the Dealey Plaza Museum. And that's about it, baby.
That's it.
That's about it.
It's not enough for you.
My good friend Tom Riley was with me, our remodeling contractor from Prescott. And we looked at each other and he said, Rosie, there's more to do in Prescott than there is in Dallas. He says, there's a lot more to see in Prescott and Yavapai County than there is in Dallas. He and his wife, Sandy, spent 2 or 3 days trying to find things to do. And
Sandy said it was awful.
It was terrible. So if you have any redeeming features of the Dallas area that we missed, we'd sure like to know about it. But today we're going to be talking about
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you,
if you'd like to join the conversation. And we've got a special guest in this morning. Last Saturday at 7 o'clock, we talked about earthquakes.
And boy, did that light up the phone. That was fun.
We had Dr. Sky talking about the universe. And then we had Lee Allison, Arizona State geologist, talking about the earthquake that had hit us the week before, located just north of Phoenix in the Black Canyon City area. He brought an interesting statistic to the conversation, saying 70% of the Arizona population felt or were impacted by that particular quake. So pretty interesting. Interesting to fact to know that they had not had that area really identified at that point as to prone to any particular earthquake activity, geologic activity. And now they're trying to determine, do we have a fault? I said, yes, you have a fault right there. It's called the Agua Fria River. Have you ever gone up there and stood there? I mean, it's huge. It's a huge canyon. So I got into this mode here of trying to find the epicenter of that because I want to go plant a geocache.
And we found out we had been horseback riding, what, like 10 miles from there just a couple weeks ago. Before.
Yeah, I wonder what happens to a horse when you're on his back.
I was wondering that this morning. What do they think about that?
Yeah, we were riding right up by Joe's Hill. And if you know the area, or if you want to take a couple notes, if you take Lousy Canyon, where it ties into the Agua Fria River, as one point, take the summit of Joe's Hill as another point, and take Sunset Point Rest Area as another point. Draw a triangle there, and right about the middle of that triangle is where the epicenter of the 4 and the 4.1 earthquake hit us right about midnight 2 weeks ago. I've got to go see that spot.
Let's just go.
And it looks like to me it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of between a half a mile and a 2.5 mile hike, depending on where you get. So I wanted to reach out to someone that could help me in the arena of the geocache world, and I found Mr. Geocache Arizona himself. Let me introduce our listeners to Al Schoon. Al, we really appreciate you getting up and joining us here this Saturday morning right here in the broadcasting station.
It was a little challenging to get up at 5 o'clock this morning to make it, but hey,
we appreciate
I'm here.
Golly. Well, you know, we've been talking about geocaching as a family activity. It wasn't around when we raised our first 5 children, but then we had this one little tail dragger that came 10 years later, our little Carol Grace. And it became one of she and my favorite outdoor activities. Wherever we went camping or traveling, I mean, we'd go to Toronto, we'd go to Montreal, we'd go to New York City, we'd go to
Jekyll Island
off the coast of Florida and Georgia. And she was always then had this mission to find a geocache. I think it's a fabulous outdoor activity. Why don't you share with the listeners exactly what it is?
Geocaching is sort of an online or an active treasure hunt where you're using a GPS-enabled device and a set of coordinates to, as some people say, find Tupperware in the woods with million-dollar satellites.
There you go. Okay, I can see that. Yeah, I've never heard that, but that's it.
That's pretty much what it is. So there are containers hidden all over the world. There are over 2 million geocache containers currently hidden. And they can be anything from, like I said, a Tupperware can, an Altoids tin, or whatever. And they contain a log sheet, which is where when a person finds it, they will sign that they've been there at that location and found that geocache.
The hardest one we ever found. And like you say, they can be anything. The first couple I had found were ammo cans.
Yes.
You know, fairly weatherproof. And you have your little pencil and paper in there and your little trinkets that you're trading back and forth. And so we went to go find this one in a swamp outside Fort Bragg. And it took me 5 different trips to finally find it. And it was a 35-millimeter film canister above the ground in a knot hole. And it was just, and I didn't know to look there. I get you gotta be open-minded when you're looking for these things.
Yes.
They can be tough.
Yes.
So no matter where you're going, there's geocaches to find.
Yes. That's how my wife and I first got started with it back in 2008. We read an article in the Arizona Republic about geocaching.
And then last month, you were the subject of the Arizona Republic article on geocaching.
What goes around comes around.
I called Kara and I said, hey, would you mind sharing your informant's information? And that's how I rang you.
So our first experience with geocaching was staying at a resort up in Sedona area for a weekend. And we had read the article on geocaching, purchased a GPS unit, and thought we would give it a try. And we ended up finding a specific type of geocache that day, which is called a multi-cache. It has multiple stages or steps to it before you find the actual final container. And we ended up finding each step, and it was done with a story about a cowboy who was chasing another cowboy who had messed around with his wife. And so there was a little story that followed this. And at each stage, there was a little piece of the story. And ultimately, when you got to the end, you completed the story and you found the geocache. And we looked down from where we were and said, goodness gracious, we just climbed a mountain and didn't even realize it.
It's a great activity for the outdoors. I want to visit some more with you because you have planted as many as how many geocaches throughout Arizona?
There are about 300 active geocaches in Arizona that are mine.
And then people that find geocaches score them.
Correct.
With points.
Yes.
And so your current favorite place point standing is what?
I'm a little over 6,000 points right now.
Okay, and that places you where nationally?
It places me sixth in the U.S., first in Arizona.
Wow, I didn't know that. We've met a celebrity today.
Well, you're going to find out why, because he's brought in all these visual aids that we're going to be describing.
Romy's got those on Facebook.
He takes this all to a whole new level. It's not only just computer-generated treasure hunts, but he takes it to the next level. And then we're going to hear about a particular geocacher up in Yavapai County area called the Raven. His Indianapolis Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. Indianapolis, Indiana.
NASCAR starts today, too.
Yeah.
It's all so in there.
That's a particularly intriguing story as well.
That's probably the very best geocache in Arizona.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that when we get back. Folks, it's Rosie on the House here with Mr. Geocache of Arizona, Al Schoon, talking about ways to get outdoors and ways and reasons to drive you outdoors. Geocaching. Mm-hmm.